the Cincinnati edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. If you've been missing Fiona, the famous hippo, you'll soon be able to see her in person again. The Cincinnati Zoo begins its phased reopening process this week. Let's talk about it. Zoo Director Thane Maynard is on the phone. Thane, thanks for being with us.
Michael, always good to talk with you. And yes, we are very excited up here on the hill in Avondale because the zoo's been closed far too long, but we do open up on Wednesday.
Well, it was just time moves so strangely now. 2, maybe 3 weeks ago that I moderated an event for the Northern Kentucky Chamber online, and you were one of the guests, and you took us around on camera to see the zoo and how the animals are doing. I have to say, while that was all very amusing, they looked a little lonely. So I imagine you and the animals are pretty happy to be welcoming guests back soon.
We are excited. We really are. You know, the reason the zoo's here is to inspire people with wildlife. And the best way to do that is for them to see them in person. So from Fiona to our birds to our elephants, we'll all be here and we're excited to get going.
But Thane, tell us a little bit about what this pandemic has done to the zoo in terms of your operations, because a lot of businesses and organizations have taken a significant hit. Some are scared that they won't recover. What type of impact has this had on the zoo and its operations and plans for the future?
Well, I bet like an awful lot of businesses that were built on large crowds, whether that's a bar in OTR all the way to a Kings Island, you know, we didn't realize how spoiled we were, that people didn't mind crowds and they'd get, you know, just jammed in. Over the last decade, the Cincinnati Zoo has grown to be the biggest attraction in the city and the biggest attraction in the county, almost 2 million annual visitors. And certainly for now, that's on hold. So it has had a big impact, certainly an impact on our revenue. And as we open up, that we're going to open slowly, hopefully as the summer goes along, we'll be able to build back up to, you know, not the same level of crowds, you know, 10 to 15,000 people in here at once, but, you know, start slowly and grow as we can. I would say this, people in Greater Cincinnati have been very supportive of the zoo. Many people kept continuing to buy memberships as a show of faith that they know we're coming back and they'll be out here.
Well, tell us a little bit, Thane, about those plans to reopen. You've got a date set, and then when can the general public start to check it out?
Sure. Well, the first week, starting this Wednesday the 10th on through the 16th, will be for zoo members. And the reason is, as I said, they've been our biggest source of revenue over the past 3 or 4 months. And then starting the 17th, it'll be for the general public as well. The big difference, for the first time ever in our 145 years, you'll have to get a ticket ahead of time. It will be a time ticket. So you might sign up and you can come in at 9, someone else comes at 9:30, someone else comes at 3:30. And the reason for that is we are under the governor's guidelines to try to, as best we can, have social distancing and not have large, large crowds. So initially, we're going to start with 2,500 people per day. That's a fairly slow entry pace. So at 9 o'clock, that would be 250 people, and then at 9:30, another 250, and at 10, et cetera. So that way, though, over the day, we'll have 2,500. At any given time, we'll probably only have about 1,000, 1,500 people in the zoo as we get going. And the zoo's 80 acres, so it does give us room to space people out, and we can, you know, accomplish that goal. And initially, we do need people to be patient because with as many members as we have and as many people who love the zoo, you know, initially we can only let them in a little at a time. But our thought is once we know we can do that safely, we can grow that a little bit and still keep the crowds reasonable.
We're talking with Thane Maynard, the director of the Cincinnati Zoo. And Thane, you said that, you know, when times are normal, you have about 10 to 15,000 people in there a day. Now you're saying about 2,500. That's, you know, like a fifth of what you're used to. Can you give us some insight into how the zoo worked out the formula that it's using in order to keep the crowd spaced and limited?
Sure. Well, we had a great planning team, including our design experts here. We have a full-time architect, full-time facilities leader who's a civil engineer. And so we're able to look at the zoo and say, okay, if we have 2,500 people here, again, maybe not all at once, but say we grow to be that big, how would they need to be spaced out so that it can be safe and there's not really a jam? One of the reasons we're doing time ticketing is that way, rather than all flooding in at once, all during the day, you'd have people coming in the zoo. And then also, you know, after a couple of hours, they'd be leaving the zoo. Anybody who's been to the zoo on a beautiful day knows mostly everybody's charging in here in the morning. So call that 9 o'clock to 10:30 or 11. During peak times, we would get 4,000 people an hour through the turnstiles into the zoo. Well, that's obviously not going to work right now where we need to do social distancing. So spreading them out in half-hour segments, we've done some test runs, and we know that will work. So we'll start slow, start safe, and then hopefully as we go along, be able to pick that up a little bit as we head further into the summer.
And you are using a different entrance.
We are. Initially, you know, there's a lot of concern about how many touch points. Are things sterile and safe? So our thinking, again, because it's a smaller crowd, is instead of parking in the main solar lot where you take the escalator and the elevator and all sorts of places that families and kids would touch, we're going to park on our south lot, which is on Vine Street and Erkenbrecker between the zoo and the VA. That way you just park your car, you don't have to touch anything, you walk in the entrance. It's a touchless entrance, you know, because ahead of time you'll have gotten your ticket and you can have that on your phone and it just goes beep, just like when you're checking in at the airport these days, and then you can walk in. Throughout the zoo, the initial experience is going to be outdoors, so you don't have a lot of places inside that you might touch things. And areas that might be touched, such as we do have restrooms, very regularly we have our housekeeping team in there wiping things down and sterilizing those. So we've considered all those things, and we know it can be a safe visit. And initially, our indoor buildings will not be open, such as the birdhouse or the manatee building. And things like our rides, our train and carousel, are not yet running. But we're putting together a plan now that places like Kings Island are going to open of how could we do our rides and do them safely.
And I guess that would also include some of the interactive services that you have at the zoo where people are touching.
Correct. Yeah, we're trying to start slowly, make sure people come and feel comfortable. And again, the governor's guidelines include all the staff will be wearing masks. Guests are encouraged to wear masks, but it is not mandatory. And a lot of people with kids would understand that. It'd be hard to keep a mask on a three-year-old anyway. But I think people will enjoy getting back to the zoo, and certainly our feedback so far has been that.
And in the meantime, while the zoo wasn't open to the public, you still have all the animals there, right? Can you talk a little bit about how your team just worked during the closure since March?
Sure. Well, of course, the animals need care every day of the year, no matter what. Even on, say, Christmas or New Year's, the keepers and the veterinarians are here and available. So that was certainly the case, even though the zoo was closed for 3 or 4 months. We did divide our animal keepers and veterinarian into an A and B schedule, so there wasn't an overlap in case the COVID virus hit. We are very pleased to say that to date, the virus has not hit the zoo employees, so that's been a really good thing, or our animals. But yes, we needed all hands on deck to take care of our animals. Very fortunately, we had a very steady supply chain for all our food. So we were able to get, you know, whether it's lettuce or all the other things that we needed coming out of the winter into spring. And that's a good thing. Some zoos in more remote areas, I know the zoo in Calgary, Alberta, had a heck of a time getting hold of enough bamboo for their giant pandas. They used to get their bamboo directly from China, and that was stopped. And so actually they're going to send their two giant pandas back to China because they're not sure long-term they'd have a food supply. But our animals have all been very well fed, and they'll be eager to get some visitors back. You know, our giraffes used to get fed every day up on the deck. They wonder where everybody went. Of course, Fiona's the biggest ham I ever saw. She loves to be the attention of people and have her picture taken. So starting Wednesday, she'll be delighted that her adoring fans are back here.
Well, you know, Thane, we learned during this that animals can be vulnerable to the novel coronavirus that we're dealing with. Was there any particular precautions that you had to implement at the Cincinnati Zoo in order to protect certain types of animals?
We were very nervous about that very thing when the news broke that at the Bronx Zoo, a number of tigers and lions contracted the disease. People got very nervous. fortunately, those animals recovered quickly. They didn't have real bad symptoms. They mainly just had coughs. None of our animals have gotten it, but yes, we've been very cautious with the wearing of masks with all the keepers around our animals, because if the animals were to catch this virus, they would catch it from their keepers. That's who they're with all day long. They're very unlikely we catch it from a visitor casually walking by. That said, we are living up to that 6-foot space. There are a couple places in the zoo that you could be closer than 6 feet, and if that's the case, we put up barriers so you wouldn't be that close.
And you're talking about in proximity to the animals?
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
Like what would be an example of that?
By our snow leopards. We know that big cats are vulnerable. When you think if you've seen our snow leopard exhibit, you know, part of it is you're going along, you're looking through glass, that's fine. Another part, you're looking through wire mesh, but the railing was quite close to that mesh. And if the animals are laying right there, you know, it's too close. So we've created a way to put plexiglass, like a sneeze guard, if you will, between you and the cats. And you can still see them, but it ensures that they're not going to be exposed to the virus.
And we're talking to Cincinnati Zoo Director Thane Maynard about the zoo's reopening, which starts this week on Wednesday, with zoo members being the first to be welcomed in. You'll find reduced attendance. Looks like about 2,500 people per day will be permitted in staggered start times. And you can find more information at cincinnatizoo.org. Thane, just to continue our conversation, we were talking about social distancing and the way that you're trying to make sure that there is some social distancing between your visitors and your animal residents. What about the people and social distancing? We are seeing some markers here and there at certain types of businesses. Is that something that the zoo is working towards as well, or is there just signage to encourage people to try to keep distance?
Well, it's all of the above. We do have markers on the ground 6 feet apart in many, many of our high congestion areas, and they're in the form of a hippo footprint in honor of Fiona. In addition to that, naturally, we do have signs. We also have a couple times an hour announcements on our PA system. And we try to make it fun. We try to encourage people to stay a zebra length apart, which is about 6 feet, and things like that. But, you know, reminding kids, reminding families. You know, the nice thing about the zoo is it is a family place. It is largely a daytime place. It's a place where people tend to behave themselves. And so, you know, in a town like Cincinnati that I think really represents Midwest nice, where people try to be pleasant to one another, I think we can pull it off. Where is it hard? Obviously, it's hard if you're in a college town and it's late at night and the bars are open till 2. You know, social distancing goes out the window. But I think here at the Cincinnati Zoo, we'll carry on. And actually, we have staff and volunteers that'll, you know, roam through the ground, both cleaning things, but also encouraging people. Hey, if you're here in front of Fiona, we want you to enjoy it, but make sure your group stays separate from some others. Let's all have fun together. You know, that kind of thing. So, It'll be an adventure, but we'll learn as we go.
And Thane, I know you're excited to reopen the zoo to people, but in addition to having animal attractions, there is some food service on site. What are the plans for that?
Sure. Well, that will be good, but also modified. Currently, we aren't yet opening our indoor restaurant, although it's permitted, but just for the sake of social distancing. What we're doing instead is both down by our food trucks, which are down the hill near the Manatee Building, or up here in our entry plaza, we have our new Hops Beer Garden and Pizza Spot, as well as the Tusker booth over by our main restaurant. All the dining will be outdoors. You'll order. When that's ready, they'll announce it's ready. You'll go and get it. And then there are, you know, a number of benches, also some tables near those sites where people can eat. But it'd be, you know, sort of all be walk-up. Rather than in an indoor space where there'd be a lot more contact.
Thane, is there anything that you learned about your industry or that other people in your industry have learned during this seemingly once-in-a-lifetime event, this pandemic?
Well, you know, it's interesting. And I've had a long career, and I had not realized as much until this happened. As I said before, how spoiled we all were, you know, year by year. The interest in the zoos, the interest in the Cincinnati Zoo would grow year by year to, you know, bigger crowds, more revenue, more excitement, really trying to build just a great experience and great exhibits. And so this has been a reality check of saying, all right, listen, we need to take a step back and really think about, okay, these are our top priorities. Here's what we're going to keep doing. And some other things, because, you know, we're broke, here's some other things we might not be doing. So if there's a silver lining, it's that you really have to look at what are your priorities. And obviously, like any business, you want to do the things you can really, really do well. You don't want to just muddle along. So it's been an interesting time, but absolutely no doubt we're excited that it's time to also open back up. That's why we're here.
Thane Maynard is the director of the Cincinnati Zoo, which is reopening to members this week and others soon after. Thane, as always, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us.
Michael, I'm glad to be on, and I'll look forward to seeing you in person when we all go down to the station again.
Same, same, same. Thanks so much, Thane.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Marks.